Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book study. Today we are reading from the Big Book, page 11, paragraph 4, starting with, had this power originated in him, through one paragraph ending, and this was none at all. Comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Barbara W., The 12 Traditions, Joanne L., reader of the text will be Penny L.C., page 164 reader will be Kara L., our backup reader, Sherry Z., our newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and the announcements will be done by Leslie M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 27th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,259. That's 21259. And for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Thursday, March 28th, 2024, the share ID is 21265. That's 21265. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Barbara W. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. I'm Barbara, a grateful compulsive overeater. Step one is admitted that we are powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and life over to the care of God as we understand him. Four, made a searching, fearless, more inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defective characters. Seven, we are constantly, humbly asking God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, whatever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. 10, we continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, properly admitting it. Number 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Praying for our knowledge of our will and the power to carry that out. 12, we all having a spiritually awakened as the result of these steps, and we trying to carry this message of and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Barbara W. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you so much for your service today. And good morning to everybody on the line, especially the newcomers, and welcome to the world. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island, working on my recovery one day at a time. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience, Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. The money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 11, paragraph 4 in Bill's story, starting with, had this power originated in him, through one paragraph ending with, and this was none at all. I'm now going to ask Penny L.C. to get us started with reading and sharing. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Laura, and good morning to everyone on the line this morning. Laura, thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him that there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. So this is a continuation of Abby coming over to Bill's home and having a conversation. And so Bill is just stunned when he's looking at Abby across the table and then listening to his friend speak of something in a way so out of character. And acting in such an unfamiliar way. He was amazed at Abby, you know, in his appearance and his approach, and was trying to figure out what had gone on with him or what was going on with him. He was also curious and wanted to understand how such a metamorphosis could have happened with his drinking buddy. Abby's willpower had never worked any better than Bill's, although they had both tried to quit or at least moderate. So So what was the answer? If it wasn't willpower, what was it? Ebby was able to get Bill's full attention because they had been on the same familiar road of addiction, full of potholes from each relapse, past and likely future. But yet now, Ebby was on a different road, traveling on a higher road. What was his secret? Bill wanted to know. So he kept listening. He was staring at a miracle across the table from him, whose entire demeanor was different. Personally, my Ebby came to me by phone, yet even though I couldn't see the physical transformation, I could hear it. I could listen to their story of how they had transformed. But more so, I could hear their peace, their calm, and their serenity. I could hear them share the ways in which their life had changed and how differently they thought and behaved currently. What was their secret? I wanted to know. Would it be possible to change as well for me? For me, this person who had struggled for so long with trying to find a way to get out of my misery and pain. They had my full attention, and I became open and willing to consider doing whatever they had done. They were bringing me hope, and I've been forever grateful. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Penny LC. Thank you for getting us started. So before I take a list of names of people who would like to share, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please step back and let others share, and please keep your sharing to about 3 minutes. I will be timing. So please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name and where you are calling from. Who would like
this
to share?
This is Karen KZ in Missouri.
Becca R.
I got Karen KZ and Becca R.
Julie EB.
I got you, Julie.
Diane H. Florida.
Diane H. from Florida.
Deb E. in Israel.
Deb E. One more in this lineup. So far, I've got Karen KZ, Becca R., Julie EB, Diane H., and Deb E. All right, it's a great start. Let's get going with Karen KZ, followed by Becca R. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. And the first sentence said, "This power originated in him." And I've been in OA since 1987, but just got recovered in June of 2022. And it's because I still thought I had the power. I still thought the power was in me. I controlled my eating. I controlled everybody else, and it never worked. What has happened for me in recovery is that I am relying on a power greater than myself. And I am, that's the power. That is the power that brings about the wonderful life I have today. And I keep in connection with my higher power, whom I call God, and I invite God to take me over. I do it every morning. It's the first thing that comes to my mind and out of my mouth is, God, take me over, take me over. Think your thoughts through me. Speak your words through me. Act your actions through me for your glory, for my healing and the healing of the world. And since I'm inviting God, not just once a day, but all day, to take over my life, with the invitation, God is taking over my life and is transforming my life into something beyond what I could have imagined. And every time I step back in and think I have the power and I'm trying to control something, it kind of goes the wrong way. And I just constantly keep turning my attention and remembering that there is a loving higher power, there's a loving God who wants the best for me and for everybody else. And I look for the best in everybody, in myself, and in everybody in every situation. And what I'm looking for, I'm finding. And God is just doing for me what I was not able and still am not able to do for myself. So I'm incredibly grateful for this program and the doing these things every day, day after day after day. I cannot stop inviting God to take over. And life is just incredible. I just give thanks all day long for all the things God's doing for me. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Karen Casey from Missouri. Up next is Becca R., followed by Julie E.B. Becca, where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And thanks for taking the meeting. Great shares so far. I thought about my own experience with finding recovery, and it was through a phone call. In our face-to-face meetings at the time, we sent around a We Care list. And it was actually after I had moved away from that town. I was about 2 hours away, and I received a call one day of someone making outreach who had my number from a past We Care list. And she asked me if I was abstinent. And even though I thought I was abstinent, I was going to meetings, I was calling myself in recovery, I gave her a sense of doubt. I was like, well, I think I am. And she then shared with me this idea about entire abstinence. And she actually sent me a podcast to someone who gave this incredible talk on just really coming all the way in and sitting all the way down and doing it all. And I realized after listening to that podcast that I had been trying to do, you know, maybe 80% program, but I still had those reservations about committing food and weighing and measuring food. And, you know, you can, I'll work the steps, but I'm going to take care of the food stuff. And so she carried a message of depth and weight, and I could hear it over the phone. And although I remembered seeing this woman in person, I could hear her recovery in her voice. Something was different. And when she talked about the freedom she experienced from food by having this mindset of entire abstinence and working the steps as they're outlined in the 12 and 12, she too had a new experience after she thought she was in recovery. Sponsor in OA. And I got to walk through recovery with her, and it was just, it was beautiful. And it's something that I have to remember now. Sometimes I can feel like the phone calls, like, I'm never going to see these people. I don't even know these people. But then the answer of the phone, and it's the love language, you know, the God in you speaking to the God in me, and being able to carry that same message that was carried to me of with depth and weight of I've been there, and this is what happened, and this is what I'm like today. And it's all give thanks to God, to my higher power. But yeah, I think that's all I want to share today. Thanks for having the meeting. I'll pass.
Thanks, Becca R. from Kentucky. Perfect timing. Up next is Julie E.B., followed by Diane H. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I love this paragraph. I wanted to share yesterday, timing-wise, didn't work out because really for me, a promise prayer, first prayer in the big book is, God, please do for me what I cannot do for myself. It's written as a promise. It's written looking back. But only when there's something I can't do for myself will I let anything in the universe do it for me. And so this paragraph has the power originating me. I mean, I look at the sun, I look at Pike's Peak out the window, and I feel peace. I look at the ocean. None of that power originated in me. And it's kind of a relief because I tried to live a self-will, self-propulsion life for many, many years. and there's always pushing, always striving, always trying. And I heard we've tried long and hard enough. Here is when I get to the end, when I run out, when I'm powerless, admitting I'm powerless, my life is unmanageable, that a miracle starts. Not only powerless over my food, but every aspect of my life. Since I don't, there's a lot I don't know. And so one of my favorite sayings that I heard on this line over the last 7-8 years is that powerlessness is either the best news of my day or the worst. If I'm trying to get my way, run the show, manage my food, get everything right, be the right person that someone else wants me to be, then my powerlessness feels horrible. If my kids aren't doing what I want, if my body and disease process isn't doing it, powerlessness is the worst thing. But if I recognize I'm powerless and that this power does not originate in me, there's this huge relief. I look at this mountain doesn't need anything from me. I can't do anything for it. I can walk up it. I can enjoy looking at it. But powerlessness is a great gift because there's so much that I don't have to do. So powerless for me today is the best news of the day because I've come to believe that something greater than me, bigger than me, like a mountain, like the sun, like the beach, that these things, I came to believe a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. I can't do it myself. I'm powerless. It doesn't originate in me. What a relief. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie E.B. from Colorado. And just a reminder to you where we are. We're on page 11 of the Big Book, paragraph 4. Had this power originated in him? Through that one paragraph ending with, and this was none at all. So up next is Diane H. from Florida, followed by Deb E. from Israel. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Good morning.
Could everybody please mute the line? There is a lot of background noise. Thanks, Diane. Just Diane H. should be unmuted. Go ahead, Diane.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm very grateful to be on the phone line this morning. Everything is a little confusing and upside down because I recently moved from Florida to right outside of Georgia, really on the Alabama line. So I'm glad to be in this meeting this morning, and I'm learning to always put my program first and to take care of myself and to live this program as the Big Book teaches. It's a spiritual program. It's not a diet, and it's not a club, and it's not a AA fellowship. It's actually a program to help others to come out of addiction, compulsive overeating, and those who are sick with this disease, which I am one of them, to not eat compulsively and destroy myself, my life, my body, my surrounding, my family, mainly me. Knowing that what I'm doing to myself when I compulsively overeat, I don't want to do that anymore. So I am keeping my program first no matter what. I've got to work my program first, and I'm learning how to do that one day at a time. I'm learning how to put things in place that my abstinence and my spiritual growth always come first. Learning how to start my day, close my day, do my 10th step and 8th step, and actually work the program, you know, to go over any resentments, fear, every day. Because I'm so used to hiding stuff from myself for the first 40, 50 years of my life. back and forth. I came in program young, but I didn't get the program until much later. Didn't get to understand that I do not have to die from this disease. I do not have to compulsively overeat. I can turn to a God of my understanding for help. I compulsively overate when I didn't know better. I didn't know this God. But now that I know this God, I have to build up my relationship with this God and to walk this walk in a spiritual peace that I never understood. I never could grasp before.
A reminder.
Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Diane H., from formerly of Florida, now from Georgia. Up next is Deb from Israel. Hi, Deb.
Hi, thanks. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I was just thinking earlier today, I didn't know we were doing this paragraph about how, like, I was thinking about intuition, and for me, intuition is like I can't separate it from my higher power, and how there's a part of my higher power that is in me, and that's always been in there. So when I read this line, had this power originated in him? No, it didn't originate in him, but it makes me think of how my higher power has always been inside me, and they'll always be inside me. And when I get that direction, it's obviously coming from a power that's greater than me, but I feel it inside me. And I don't know if I'm articulating that well enough, but it's just, it's comforting to me, because to me that means, like, it's not something I have to go looking far away for. It's something that's right here, right with me, and it's accessible all the time. The access is only denied if I don't try to get it, you know, if I don't try to access it, if I don't try to ask for that guidance, then it can feel like I don't have access. But that's all up to me. Anytime I want access to that power greater than myself, I have it. And it's a decision I have to make. The same way I have to decide to surrender, I also have to decide to ask my higher power for direction and to ask my higher power for that guidance. And I really like how they play with the word power in this book, you know, and how they capitalize the power that represents our higher power, and they use a lowercase p for the power that we have. And that I can, you know, but when I allow myself to access that power, and that access is always granted when I really wholeheartedly ask for it, right? Then that lowercase p becomes that uppercase P, because then I'm kind of empowered by this power. I think I'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. So now I'm going to take a new list of names. We are on page 11, paragraph 4. Had this power originated in him? Ending with, and this was none at all. So if you haven't shared within the last 2 days on any Vision for You meeting and would like to share, please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Sherry Z from Los Angeles.
Sherry Z.
Kathy K from Boston.
Kathy K, good morning. Okay. Who else?
Annabelle Z from Washington.
Annabelle Z. Gotcha. One more? I could definitely take at least one more. Sherry Z, Kathy K, Annabelle Z. Anybody else? Okay, let's get started with Sherry Z from Los Angeles. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sherry Z in Southern California, recovered and so grateful to wake up every morning to all of you. Something shook in me this morning as I was listening to the shares, in that I came into program in 1989, and I got recovered in Vision about 2.5 years ago. And what I share with my is that I surrendered 85% for a lot of years. I would literally say, God, what should I do? And then if God didn't give me the answer of what I wanted to do, then I would say, oh, you don't know. And I didn't know I was doing that subconsciously, but I was sort of in a battle with God. And what's happened that come into vision is that I have surrendered to a power that is not me. I wake up in the morning and I say, what would you have me be? As opposed to what would you have me do? Because I was doing, and that just got me busier. And then anytime God would say rest, I'd be like, no, I got to be doing. So today I say, what would you have me be? And my life is so unbelievably different because I find myself literally doing things that I never thought I would do, like canceling appointments, telling people I no, saying this is not for me, like setting boundaries, living in integrity, and being generous and not being annoyed all the time. I was so annoyed that people behaved differently than I wanted them behave. And I'm not so annoyed. So I'm not full of resentments all day long. So life doesn't seem as tricky. And I'll just say to the newcomer that, you know, in some ways my life is medically difficult today, and yet I have so much peace. And that is from working these steps. And I'm thankful to all the people that have 12-stepped me and stayed with me, and all the people that I get to work with every day. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Up next is Kathy K from Boston. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to share. I'm so grateful to be on the meeting this morning, and I am struck by how many of us it took many years to totally surrender to our higher power. I came in these rooms in 1993, confirmed agnostic, and it took me many, many years to even consider the possibility that I could have access to a higher power, let alone experience a God in my life. And I have to say, it's been years of growing willingness and humility and open-mindedness. That all of those are characteristics I developed as I worked through the 12 steps over and over again. And in doing so, I finally became open enough and willing enough to listen and follow that small voice within me that I could only access when I would be still, when I would pause and pray and listen, which is not something I was willing to do for the first 10 years I was in program. And today, like the previous speaker said, I'm much more about being than I am about doing. And I know in my heart that it's in the quiet stillness that I am guided to the next right action. So I am so very grateful to be here at this meeting and to the Vision for You community. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy K. from Boston, Massachusetts. Up next is Annabelle Z. from Washington. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle. I'm a compulsive overeater in Washington State. And this idea of me being powerless and just having a capital P power in my life, it had to start with me believing that a higher power was truly that powerful, and that I wasn't. And there's a line in the Big Book that says we had to believe in a power. It says God either was or he wasn't. What was it to be? And He was either everything or he was nothing. What was it to be? Anyway, and my decision was that he was everything. But yet I was a decision, but I didn't have it in my heart completely. I mean, that was a long time ago. And I'm working the second step again now in OA. And I realized that, like, I have no power over food and, like, compulsive eating. Like, I cannot stop a binge. I cannot stop food from calling my name. But with the power, capital P, if I seek it, if I look to it, and I go, okay, I'm going to trust a greater power, it goes away. And I'm able to, you know, focus again on life in between the meals, life in between the food. And it's amazing because I feel like I don't have power, and yet I feel so filled with power. In other words, I don't have to control anything. Like, the less I even can try and control things, like, the more relaxed I am, the more I don't have my hands on things to try to control outcomes, the better the outcomes are. And I'm laughing at myself. Like, how did I live so long thinking if I just controlled this or that, life would be better? And now I'm finding that I'm just aware more of things turning out because I'm surprised that it wasn't my idea. And so that's what I just wanted to say how awesome trusting in a higher power is. That's all I have. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, Annabelle Z from Washington State. So we are on page 11, paragraph 4. Had this power originated in him through that one paragraph ending with, and this was none at all. And we have time for about 3 or 4 more shares. Who would like to share?
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Natalie S.
Natalie S.
Dina A.
Is that Christina A?
Dina A.
Jordan L.
Okay. Dina A. and Jordan, we're going to stop with you. Hopefully we have time for you, Jordan L. Sherry M., Natalie S., Dina A., and Jordan L. Let us know where you're calling from. Sherry M., you're up first.
Hey, good morning. This is Sherry M., gratefully recovered in Wyoming. And thank you for a wonderful meeting. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everyone's shares. And, this power, you know, my sponsor used to say, go down to the ocean and try to stop the waves. And this was my first concept of a higher power, that there was nothing I could do to stop the waves from coming in or going out. And it was as simple as that. That's the concept. Have I ever told myself, stop putting your hand in the bag and putting it in your mouth? Stop putting the hand in your bag. Do not go to the store, Sherry. Do not go to the store. Do not go to the store. Okay, I'm in the store. Okay, I'll just have one. I'll just have one. I'll just have one. 25 later, the bag is empty. I was unable to stop. Okay, so these are some examples of me having absolutely no power. I do believe that the power that I found, which I call God, or I can call Great Spirit, I can call it whatever I want to call it, love. It was deep down inside me all along. So this paragraph is a little contradictory in a way, but I knew that me alone, without recognizing that there was another power, I had no power. Once I conceded that I was totally hopeless and doomed, that there was nothing I could do to help this disease and to help this compulsion and to relieve me of this being a slave to food, then I became willing to believe in something else. And once I did, and once I cleared away the wreckage, right, through steps 4 through 9, I found that it is in there, and it's always in there. So when I wake up every day, it's a fresh new day. I've never lived this day before. And every day I have to say, God, take it all. I made an agreement with you, and that was that in order for me to be free, you can have my life, all of it, 100%. I'm all in with whatever you want for me. And then I can live a free life. And once I do that, I can get that intuitive small voice. And it's deep down inside of me. It is in there. But what happens is that my self-will gets involved and all my defects come out. And my character defenses that try to protect me, which is all an illusion. I am not protected. Saying, take it all, hands in the air, is the most liberating thing I can do. And it's not too scary. right on the other side is this whole other world that I didn't know existed because I thought I needed to help God in managing my life. And so I like being in the co-pilot seat. I like asking God, how can I help you and your children today? And thank you so much. We're all perfect children of God today. And where is love? You know, my will is hard. God's will is easy. And that's as simple as that. So thanks so much. Great share. Great meeting.
Thanks, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Up next is Natalie S. Natalie, let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you. This is Natalie S., compulsive eater in Arizona. And I am just so grateful for all the tools that God has, my God, of my understanding, has put in my path, in you and vision and in just countless other ways to really kind of hammer home this idea of surrender and complete surrender. Everywhere I turn today, God is asking me to surrender. And I'm at, like, maybe I hope that I could be at 90%. And it's interesting because at first when I came into this program about 15 months ago, I'm like, well, you know, I have more of a restrictor or exerciser compulsion, and how does this fit? And yet I felt so understood, like they say to newcomers, I felt at home. And now I want, when I, when God really wants to get my attention, he does something outward, which is typically me taking back my will, whether that's in a desire, a frustration, a person, the, you know, like, take nature of wanting to get back on the bike. Because right now, he's got me injured. And, yeah, I want to bargain. I want to bargain so badly. Like, okay, well, I can do just a little stretching. That won't hurt, right? And I hear, no, I want you to do this. And yet, how quickly I will turn away from it. And one of the things that I've learned, at least for me, is that idea that life really, two things. First, life really is a lot more peaceful if I just say, fine, you know. I know I can't do it. The second thing is when I find myself in self-will and don't recognize it and call somebody or, you know, do a 10-step or something, you know, I'm so grateful that all of you fellows are so honest. I don't need it sugar-coated. I need a loving hand that says, yep, you know what? You're looking too much at yourself. You want to do what you want. Why don't we see what fear is behind this? And it typically is a fear. And right now, I'll ask for any prayers from anyone that I can complete God's will and actually trust that what I hear in my head is that still small voice that somebody else mentioned is really his. And when I take that action, all of a sudden everything else just seems to magically come into color, or like Alice in Wonderland, it becomes this whole new world. Or maybe if you're, you know, of the Ariel in the Little Mermaid age, whatever.
Simple reminder.
Thank you. And so I would encourage all of us, and I keep myself in that list, that the practice of surrendering is truly a daily practice, but I believe it's how God would have us be. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Natalie S. from Arizona. Up next is Dina A. Dina, let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you. Dina A. from New Jersey, gratefully recovering. So this paragraph used to probably be my favorite one like 12, 13 years ago when I came into OA. It always gave me the chills. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. I remember with my first abstinence where I was struck abstinent walking into program, and that freedom, and that I kept going back to this paragraph, like when you have a loose tooth as a kid and you keep feeling it with your tongue, like wow, like, had this power originated in me? Obviously not. Like, I had none at all. I always had none at all. And here it just was. So feeling that power filling me and working for me and knowing that it had not originated in me at all. And then I have to say, over the years, I think I forgot to read this paragraph or to read it with the same reverence, because suddenly I'm thinking, yeah, I've got this. Maybe, you know, somehow I forgot and thought that the power was mine and started doing it a little bit more my way, which led to falling off, of course. And coming back and just reading this paragraph again this morning is like, wow, just so grateful to be in this place with a year and a half, almost probably less than that, of abstinence, of having power flow through me that's not my own power again. And in my life and regular things and my relationships and the way I want things to work out, I picture myself like this little, like, witch by a cauldron trying to originate power, like, you know, some kind of magic spell that I'm coming up with the power with my brainstorming, with my ideas, with my what I'm going to do to get my ideas to work out. And just to keep coming back to this, like, no kind of power is originating from me. And the original feeling that I felt 12 years ago and today, if I stop and think about it, of awe, such a beautiful, wonderful, liberating, free, mountaintop breeze kind of feeling of not having the power and of feeling power that is not originating from me working in my life. So grateful for that. And then I'll pass.
Thanks, Dina A. from New Jersey. Up next is Jordan L. Jordan, you've got about 2 minutes. Is that okay? Jordan L. from Colorado. Press star one. Got about 2 minutes.
Yes, that's okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. Yeah, I didn't think we would have enough time, so thanks for letting me share. So a couple of pages ago, and I guess a couple of months ago, Bill admitted complete defeat. He talked about being overwhelmed by alcohol. Alcohol was his master. And I think the way that I read the story is, I think that in the way that I relate my experiences, that was probably the point in time that Bill understood his powerlessness. And if he had had a solution then, he probably would have picked it up. But there's like an intermittent period in between that and where he's at now, where someone is kind of like showing him step two, right? Like the steps were written at that point in time. So someone is showing this to him, right? It's like happening in real time. There's this period in between where he kind of starts to understand what it means that life is unmanageable. You gotta like you almost need that like powerlessness piece first to understand that kind of defeat, and then some time to like sit with what it means to be powerless and to not have a solution. You know, and that's kind of where I start to understand what it means to my life being unmanageable. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jordan. Sorry we had to cut you short. That ends our sharing for the day. We are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, this is Kara L. from Long Beach, California, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.